You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire. 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Tēnā koutou katoa, ko Jemima Houston tōki ingoa, nō mai haere mai ki te wire mō tēnei rā. Kia ora and welcome to The Wire for Tuesday, the 3rd of August. My name is Jemima and I'm your host and I'm joined in studio by Joe, who's producing today. How's it going?
Good, how we doing?
Good. We've got there, which is nice.
We got there.
We're getting there. It's so good. The sun is shining now, which is a nice thing compared to the wind and crazy storm.
Terrible I woke storm up to this morning. Same. Jeez.
I know. It woke me up. It was so noisy.
Really gave me sleep last night. It was terrible.
But anyway, despite that, we have a great show coming up. So, if I akine, today I report on the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill, which was introduced by the government last week. Tomorrow's World is back. This week, Isla and Stella are diving into the world of microplastics. They draw on interviews with Dr. Shinji Kahara from the School of Chemical Sciences at the University of Auckland. They discuss how nanoplastics affect human cellular function and how prevalent they are here in Aotearoa. I also speak to Stephen Stockwell, who is the station manager of community and alternative music radio station for Triple Z, based in Brisbane, Australia. We speak about how the stop-start lockdowns taking place in Australia due to the Delta variant outbreak are impacting the events and music scene over there. And how about you, Joe? What are you looking at today?
So I talked to Dr. Jamie Veal from the University of Waikato. We spoke about the recent controversy with the Olympic weightlifter, the transgender Olympic weightlifter, Laurel Hubbard, and how she made headlines in the Olympics. That's what I talked about today. We talked about that matter. We also spoke about how this affects the wider LGBTQ community as well.
Awesome. Brilliant. Well, that's all coming up for you on the show today. He aho whakaaro, we would love to hear your thoughts on any of these pieces. So, tuku pātui mai, you can send us through a text on 5395 or wai mai rānei, give us a call in studio on 309 3879. Also, after the show, kaue e wariwari e ahi ana koutou, te whakarongo ki ēnei kōrero anō, he pakihiri rokiroki mā runga i te pai tukutuku o irarangi poho. Mi haere ki 95BFM irakati.com. You can catch all of these stories and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, 95BFM.com. Head up to the right of the page, go to BCasts, hit the wire, and you can see everything we've been covering there if you missed it. Also, hit us up on our social media. We're 95BFM News on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Keep up with what the newsroom is doing there as well. Let's crack into the show.
Irirangi Poho, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
So Olympic weightlifter Laurel Hubbard made headlines recently with her campaign in the Olympics. The athlete faced widespread criticism and transphobic comments from the public due to her participation. I spoke to Dr. Jamie Veal from the University of Waikato on the matter. We also spoke about how this affects the wider LGBTQ community.
What are your thoughts on the backlash Laurel Hubbard has faced during her Olympic campaign?
Yeah, look, obviously it's a bit disappointing to see some hateful and hurtful comments, particularly online, and in some of the media, particularly some of the British media dead naming her, has been obviously disappointing. But look, you know, you use the word backlash, and that's something that we often see in social movements or when there is actual political change and things improving for a certain group. And you know, what we are seeing is so much more awareness and understanding of trans and non-binary people. So yeah, look, it's sad and disappointing, but in some ways it's not that much of a surprise that there is a backlash.
How does this hurt the LGBTQ community and the transgender community?
Yeah, look, I think just simply debating a trans woman's right to be treated like an equal citizen or compete in sport in the way that anybody else can you know, like it's really debating about taking away her rights, and that's really dehumanizing and cause further prejudice against trans women. But yeah, I agree that there is there's a lot of overlaps with the prejudices faced in the wider rainbow communities.
Mm.
So unfortunately there's fear and misinformation about what people are saying in these so-called debates, and it's causing hurtful and harmful things to be said about it. And it's important to keep in mind that might be most directly affected by some of these media debates and campaigns. And, you know, I'm really thinking about like, trans girls and women who actually just like simply want to play in their school or club sports teams. Yeah, so we know from research that I've conducted, Counting Ourselves, the Aotearoa New Zealand Trans and Non-Binary Health Survey, that half of trans people in Aotearoa New Zealand avoid sports teams because of fear of how they'll be treated.
What are your thoughts on using the argument as of biology in order to, I guess, spread, you know, hateful comments about transgender people?
It can give a reason for these kind of comments, perhaps for people to justify that, but look, the reality is it's much more complex, that there are many variables that contribute to sporting performance and achievement, so psychological and social variables. But yes, look, biology does play a role for everybody. You know, if you're not a really salient example, if you're not in the highest percentiles of height, you're going to really struggle to be in, for example, netball or basketball at elite level. So, look, bodies come in all shapes and sizes, and testosterone is just one part of the bigger picture. It builds sporting greatness. Laurel followed all of the rules around the testosterone. But we don't single out any other groups of women because of possible biological advantages. So, yeah, it's disappointing that we single out trans women and also intersex women and give them so much more scrutiny.
Do you think we should see categories in sports specifically for transgender athletes, and do you think that would limit transphobic comments?
Yeah, look, I'm not hearing from the communities that we want to be treated separately or treated any differently. Look, we want trans women to be treated as women and trans men as men. And yes, there are difficulties with, you know, sport being so binary. You know, what does this mean for non-binary athletes? And yeah, we've had a couple of great non-binary athletes as well who we don't hear as much about from in the Olympics. There's Quinn, the Canadian football player, and there's also an American skateboarder, I think, whose name escapes me. I do think we do need to be thinking about the binary categories of sports, but, you know, we also, it's complex, right? We need to be thinking about making sure that you know, the reasons that we do have these different categories are for, you know, for making sure that there's equality, that women's sports gets equal attention and equal billing. So, I think that these debates are going to be evolving. We're going to be seeing, I guess, more and more realization that gender differences are not just entirely about biology. I think in the future there'll be increased recognition of, you know, the psychological or social differences. If you're somebody assigned female at birth versus somebody assigned male at birth, you'll get a lot more encouragement and praise for being strong, which might help you to end up being like a weightlifter. Or if you're, you know, somebody assigned male at birth, you're going to have a lot more resourcing probably put into the sports that you might be involved in. And you only have to look back over time just to look at, for example, the different records and how they differed between men and women over time, and how far you actually have to go back in time to see when the women of today are competing just as well as the men in the past. So, I'm not an expert, and I'm sure there's lots of discussions that need to happen in the future about what sports will need to look like. But, you know, I'm pleased that people are starting to have these discussions. Actually, I think they're overdue.
A study last year showed that only 13% of Kiwis who are aged between 15 and 21 came out to their teammates. That one-third of those who came out faced abuse. So I guess, as a nation, as a country, for the future, what do you think could be done, or what discussions need to be had in order to address this?
Yeah, so I think the research that you're citing there is looking at not just trans, sports players. It's a wider rainbow, LGBTIQ, and Takapapui people. I guess I could supplement that with looking at trans-specific research. I mentioned counting ourselves earlier, and that we've had, and the amount who have... avoided sports teams. 50% had avoided sports teams. 58% had avoided the gym because of fear of how they would be treated. Only 14% had actually participated in sports competitions or events in the last month, compared to what we know in the general social survey, 26% of the general population. So, yeah, big barriers for trans people there from my research, and, issues with wider rainbow communities. Going back to your question, or in terms